Our next storyteller is Jeff Aline, who is actually His name is Jeff Aline. And he's an excellent card guy. He in the back, he was doing some card tricks with Laura. Now, to be fair, Laura's very gullible. You can show her anything, and she's like, wow. And that's because, well, we can talk privately why. But he really was pretty amazing. And I especially like his, he's got a very particular Baltimore accent. So please welcome Jeff Aline.
Thank you. So, on the Multivox synthesizer keyboard, there is a controller about this big, and it controls the pitch of the instrument, and this allows the player to change keys if they need to, so that they don't actually have to relearn the song. They can just use the slider to actually change the keys. And this controller is at the center of one of the most humiliating events in my life. 33 years ago. It was 1983, and like a lot of kids growing up, I had dreams of being a musician, maybe even a rock star. And I did like you do if you got a dream about being a musician. You form a band with your friends. And our band's name was Messages. We even had T-shirts with the names on the back, said Messages, which was pretty cool, except for a few smart-ass kids at school who kept asking for back rubs because they insisted the shirt said Massages. Just about the time we formed, we heard about a competition at the JCC in Owings Mills called Battle of the Bands. So we went down, we signed up, and we had our first gig. We were very excited. We created a set list. We started practicing the songs. We even had one of the band members' moms make us uniforms. Because nothing says rock and roll like matching uniforms. The other problem we had was we didn't really have any equipment, and the venue we were going to be playing was a big, cavernous, echoey gymnasium. And so we started begging and borrowing and cobbling together a decent sound system. On the day of the event, we showed up. We started unloading our equipment from the from our station wagons and hatchbacks. And parked next to us was a big, shiny box truck. And it had the logo of one of the bands on the side. And I started to get a bad feeling about this. And so we loaded our stuff in, we set up, and it was during sound check that that feeling got a whole lot worse. They had all three bands line up in a row on the gymnasium floor, and on our left was a band called Sa Win, and they were a heavy metal Judas Priest cover band, and they played loud and with passion and intensity. And on our right was a band called Prophecy. And they were a polished ensemble of musical prodigies. They were awesome. And the equipment they had, the keyboard player had more keyboards surrounding him than we had band members. Their sound check song was a song by Kansas called Carry On Wayward Son, a very difficult song. And I just wanted to hand them the trophy then and call it a night because it was just so awesome. Our sound check was a muddled mix of speaker feedback and bad ground hum. That stomach, that feeling in my stomach got so much worse when they opened the doors to the gymnasium and in flooded hundreds of boisterous teenagers. They filled the makeshift stadium they'd created with the bleachers. Everyone we knew was in those stands. The competition started, and to be honest, I don't remember what the other bands did, because I was busy trying to fix the sound system. I was so nervous, and my hands were shaking so badly that it was difficult to even plug in the cables. I remember thinking to myself, what have we gotten ourselves into here? Here we were, with equipment we didn't know how to use, playing songs we didn't know how to play, in matching uniforms. The uniforms, to give you an example, were a weird mix between a Nero jacket with 80s new wave MTV style. They were half black, half white, with a division cutting across the chest on the diagonal. We looked like pubescent penguins with instruments. It was not good. So the competition starts, and it's our turn. We get up, and our lead singer, Donna, she makes her way out to the center. And Donna had a really good voice. She was an excellent, excellent singer. But this was the first time she had ever sung in public, ever. This was her world debut. She was a little nervous. She, like, stuck herself to that spot on the stage, hung on to the microphone for dear life, and off we went. We started going through our set list, and it was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. And we get to the point in our set list where we're going to slow things down, and we're going to play Faithfully by Journey. And that's where the little slider comes in. Because our keyboard player, Jacinda, was an excellent classical piano player. She had really, for her age, she had really good classical skills. But she had to have the sheet music. She could not deviate from the printed page. And Faithfully, we had to transpose into another key for our singer. But the slider made it easy. In fact, we even put masking tape and two little marks. We play all the songs at this mark. When we get to Faithfully, just move it to this mark and no problem. Except she forgot. I know. So Jacinda starts the piano intro in the wrong key. And the bass player, Chuck, he and I, we come in. And it sounds horrible. Wretched, even. It was like a fog of dissonance that just fills the gymnasium. It sounded like a demonic calliope. Booze started popping up out of the darkness. I looked at Chuck. What was he doing wrong? Maybe was I in the wrong fret? Was I playing wrong? And that's when Donna started to sing. Except she can't find her note. Highway run into the midnight sun. The boos get louder and louder. I look over at Donna, and she's so petrified at this point that she's developed a nosebleed. Blood is running down her face. I motion to her nose. She dabs her lip, sees that she's bleeding, jams two fingers in her nose, and keeps singing, Faithfully. The booze gets so loud that it overtakes our little sound system. We have to bail on the song. We quickly try and regroup, and that's when I get an idea. Our next song is Hey Bartender. It's a 1957 Jumpin' blues tune by Floyd Dixon. And I remember the thought sequence that went through my frightened little monkey brain in that moment. It was, we got to win the crowd back. Drinking is cool. Kids like cool stuff. This is a drinking song. And that's what I was going to say. Hey, you're going to love this. Next song, it's a drinking tune. At least that's what I should have said. What I actually said was, hey, you're going to love this next song. It's a boogie-woogie blues song. I actually used the phrase boogie-woogie because nothing says rock and roll like the phrase boogie-woogie. So we limped through that last song. We called it quits. We packed up our stuff. We went home. Obviously, we didn't win. But the worst part was the anticipation of what was going to happen Monday morning. The whole school was in the auditorium that day. We knew it was going to be bad. And it was even worse. Because no one said a word. They knew. They knew it was such an unmitigated disaster that you couldn't even make fun of it. In a high school filled with vicious, hormonal, morally confused teenagers, not one could muster a single joke at our expense. Have you ever been pitied by an entire high school? I have. After that, the band broke up. Donna never sang in public again. Chuck never picked up the bass again. Jacinda decided to stick with classical music. Dave, the drummer, he and I, we actually formed another band, and we were actually foolish enough to enter another Battle of the Bands contest. Oh, the name of that band? Voices from the Void. But we made a promise to ourselves right then and there that we would never, ever play another Journey song again.